like that one's not moving. No. I will hang on.
Sorry if I responded late to Kasha and Amanda.
It worked out.
It did work out? Okay, good.
Holly.
That's what I'm thinking, like she maybe needed something, but I never had to do that in
So let's see, we had a couple of technical difficulties.
Yeah.
We've solved yours.
I've been kind of
and how are you doing with the sword tool?
I think we're missing a plug-in. I think that's what's going on. It's still not working on my computer.
All right.
I'm trying to figure it out.
In the meantime, Holly is going to talk about data entry assignment. How do people do with that? And
okay, are we going to wait for Cheryl?
She's just in the bathroom. We just got out of class.
Yeah, we got out like a little.
Who was it?
Dr. Knapp. Okay, so first off, I apologize for the discrepancies in the survey. It's obviously not great that that happened.
And I want to have a big shout out to Amanda for discovering that.
Yes.
Do you know that we went an entire year last year and no one said a word about
that's
that?
Crazy.
Can you believe that? How would they be able to enter the data?
Yeah, I was just so confused.
Yeah,
I found it on my first launch.
Yeah, so thank you so
and it's
much.
It's appropriate to be confused in a situation like that.
Yes.
Why was no one else confused?
That's so funny.
Right.
So we're gonna get to the bottom of it, but thank you, Amanda.
No
I appreciate
problem.
That.
Yes. So definitely please continue to come forward if you guys see like errors or any discrepancies in the surveys. But how was it for you sort of like just you entering the surveys and using Qualtrics for the first time if it was the first time?
It was fine.
As long as it was okay. Okay. So does everyone kind of understand what to do in this situation? Because right now we're at a point where we can re-enter new surveys. We have to, basically the discrepancies we found, we have to account for more in the past for this part of this, for like that, those parts of the study.
Well, now for the bullying questionnaire, should they re-enter the data for the bullying questionnaire from last week? Or how do you want to handle that?
Okay, so my take, so you guys could like kind of talk with me about this right now, but my take on it was that when we kind of encountered discrepancies, like there were ways to manage it. So like if you found like two, like for the bullying questionnaire, we didn't mark those like problem questions, we left them blank and then we marked it in the notes. Do you feel like you might have entered some wrong? Are you sure you did the right thing with like leaving them blank and typing in the notes?
Yeah. So I entered mine. I don't think the double ones. If they circled two things, I didn't leave those blank. I just selected one and then in the notes put that I had to select one, but it gave me both. Because then I saw the email after. I had already finished by that point. So I wasn't sure if I should re-enter or...
Okay. But you like accounted for that in the notes, right?
Yes, always.
Okay. All right. And then what were you going to say, Mark?
I had a bunch of full ones.
I couldn't hear you.
Sorry. I had a bunch of completed... bullying surveys because it was like the actual packet, not a photocopy.
So you had like the orange and black
ones.
Yeah, if you guys had the orange and black, you weren't missing a page. It's the photocopied ones that were missing a page.
How many had the photocopied ones?
I had one.
So who had like at least one of the photocopied
You had a mix.
Ones.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, so does everyone feel like if you don't, that's totally fine. It's not, again, it's not your fault. It's the error, you know, on the coordinating side, but... who feels like fine, like they managed the situation with typing it in the notes? Like who doesn't feel like they really like did that? Because in those cases, I think it would be best to re-enter and it would count for your, right, it would count for the assignment for this
year. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, yes. This is all part of your hours. It's our mistake, not yours. So what I would recommend is that in cases where you answered an item with one of two circles, that would need to be redone.
Okay, even if I put it in the notes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else do that?
I didn't do that, but I'm just, I had a lot of confusion
with
like the numbers, so I'm not totally confident.
Okay.
So
No. I totally get if you felt confused, but I want to know, like, did you type it, like, did you leave those questions blank?
So I didn't leave
or...
the blank, the one that Mance did.
Okay.
The bully, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I left the bully when I was missing a page, but the ones, like, the question you had about the options were different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is those all of your five, or is it just, like, a couple? You're not sure? Okay, so in that case...
Well, did you have any original orange questionnaires? They were all photocopied.
Yes.
Well, the photocopies, I mean, we can't go back and ask these students how they would have answered,
right?
So that's just, they're just left blank.
Yeah, we can't do anything about that.
But the mistake that Amanda discovered, that's the one I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
We can't go back to 2017 and ask these kids the series of questions that they never got. They never got those questions. We can't go back in time. What we can do is we can re-enter the data for the items that were screwed up in the template. That's what we can do.
Yes. So.
And Holly did fix that, right?
Yes. So the survey's corrected now. If you see that it's not corrected, if the on those questions on the bullying questionnaire, the paper questions don't correspond with the electronic survey, then that's an issue with the browser or with reloading the page. Then you have to then go to a different browser or just like click the link a couple times and refresh it and wait for it to kind of go back until you have to start typing in the password again. That's how you know that the page has been like completely refreshed. But it's all fixed right now. But again, we want to know for those couple questions if you left them on 12B, 13, and 14 on the bullying questionnaire, if you recall leaving those blank and then entering the notes because that was the correct protocol.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. Then
you
could re-enter them.
I think I did like probably two of them before you fixed the mistake, and that's where I left blank and put in the notes. And then the other two or three were after you fixed the mistake because then I saw the change.
Yes.
But I don't know which ones. Because I don't...
You don't know which...
Which ones I did before or after it was fixed.
So, I think... I don't know.
You would know because if you filled it out before it was fixed, it wouldn't make any... Those items wouldn't make any... Maybe you can put the item numbers on the board. Do you know the item numbers?
12B, 14, 15.
Yeah.
What is it, Amanda?
12B, 14, and 15.
Holly, when were they fixed?
When were they fixed? So I completely fixed them on...
What time was it on Sunday?
Okay,
never
mind.
But it was on Sunday?
It was on Sunday.
Okay.
Yep.
I have a photocopy one,
yeah.
So I left all those blank that like weren't included in the ones that I have, but I didn't include that in the notes. Should I redo it and include it in the notes?
Oh, like a page was missing? No,
yeah.
No,
okay.
That's not necessary because we already know about that. Okay, so...
There's a page missing in all the photocopies.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so what I'm thinking is that we kind of reassign all the same ones this week just to be certain and then put in the back of the notes section, this is... after corrected survey, so that we have like definites on the items.
So you'll re-enter all the bullying questionnaires from last week.
That's okay. Yeah, so I'm talking only about the bullying questionnaires, so what you would do...
All the other stuff is fine.
Yep, you just skip to that part. You enter the item number, obviously. You have to do that. And then you skip to the bullying part where it says date and school, and then you just submit it like that. And then I think type in the notes like per... following corrected survey. Does everyone get that?
So the notes will say following corrected survey, as in this one is following the corrected one, or this is the corrected one?
We could, okay, so yeah, we could probably put corrected survey.
Yeah.
Yeah, just corrected survey.
And then my other question is, so that will be the one to re-enter.
Yeah.
And if you have any that someone put two responses.
Okay.
So I have to re-enter those. Okay, now do I have to re-enter the whole measure for that, or just the items?
The whole, what do you mean?
So, like, one of them was the, I think, the RFQ. They
No. We're just talking about the bullying questionnaire, only the bullying.
Right, but I'm saying, so there are other ones where, the RFQ in particular, where they circled, like, disagree and agree.
Oh, and you selected one.
And I selected one, but in the notes put, like, selected disagree, they also put agree. They circled two.
You know, it's so unfortunate that in Qualtrics you just can't go back and change.
Well, you can go back, but not after you submit it. That's
what I mean. It,
right.
But also,
so,
if you
huge
click
disadvantage.
Something, and some of them you can't unclick it.
Exactly.
You have to click either something else or you're stuck.
So all I could say to you guys is that's a big disadvantage of Qualtrics, and if you notice that A, you put in the wrong answer and you can't change it or whatever, like you notice that something's incorrect, so I actually asked Qualtrics this question, and you don't have to, like, the survey answers get saved, like the all your other survey ones, if you want to just go to, like, a new entry like place and then type in the answers for the one that you want corrected. So you can, but again, put in the notes so we know what's going on.
All right,
so don't need to re-enter this.
No, let's not re-enter the bullying when you selected one when there were two answers.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Okay.
But we will re-enter
bullying.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just tried doing that to make sure it worked, and it doesn't let me skip past. Like, it won't let me get past, was a CD survey blank.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because it's, like, one of those forced responses.
Yeah.
So I guess you have to enter that part, then, to get past that the forced response. It should only be a forced response for the question, is it blank or not. But
is
I could
that
going
to mess anything up?
I don't think. I mean,
so you just press yes, it was blank. So you can move on, correct?
Well, it wasn't
blank.
Right.
But then like, all right, so everything was complete. And then just skip all the other ones.
Did it let you skip it when you said everything was complete?
Yes.
Oh.
But so is that other data still going to be in there?
It should
the
be. It should be. I mean, I talked to Qualtrics about it, so it should be.
Maybe you could check after you're done.
I don't know if I can check.
She doesn't have the ability to check, but I could check.
Okay.
So if you even want, you could call or email me. Oh, right now.
Do you want me to do it right now and then in a few minutes?
Yeah,
that would
be good. I would hate for us to lose the data that you've already entered.
Yeah.
We already got screwed up with one questionnaire. I would hate for that to happen to others. So
does Qualtrics give you the data in like an Excel spreadsheet type format?
You can download it into SPSS.
Oh, great.
Which is what I.
Right.
For,
so then in cases like when there are corrections, you just kind of have to like
configure the data.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives you that option.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, there are some disadvantages to Qualtrics that we're seeing. So.
Yeah.
So we enter the board.
But yeah, we do apologize for the confusion. But if you guys have any more questions, like feel free to ask anything. But again, we're going to re-enter these envelopes, okay?
Well, just the bullying.
I'm sorry, the bullying questionnaire, the envelopes.
Just the bullying. We don't want them to re-enter everything.
Just the bullying part.
Okay.
Are you giving us more questionnaires, or is that going to be confusing?
No, I think we should continue.
I agree. Okay.
We're going to
make sure everyone, like, distinguishes which ones put a rubber.
Right, people
got to
put their thinking caps on.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, in addition to re-entering these five questionnaires, you'll have five packets to enter for next week, okay?
Okay.
Do I have to re-enter all of them?
like they were complete.
They do, because there's an error in Qualtrics. That's the problem.
But it wasn't it fixed Sunday?
It's fixed now. But all the data you enter can't be fixed. You have to re-enter it.
Yeah. We just want to be, like, sure. So that's why we're doing that.
The error was in three items. And unfortunately, with Qualtrics, you can't just go back in and fix three items. You have to re-enter the entire questionnaire. That's the disadvantage of using Qualtrics, you know. Sarah Snyder was the person who originally introduced Qualtrics to this particular project, and you know, I went along with it, and you know, I have second thoughts about that decision, but we're stuck with Qualtrics now because all the data from the previous years have already been entered into Qualtrics.
Yeah, it's already like in Qualtrics. So.
Yeah. So we'll complete this project in Qualtrics, even though I don't like it.
Now you know
what's
the future project.
Yes. Well, I like good old SPSS myself, so.
Yeah, right? That's so far.
But,
I like so far as a sentence, I love SPSS.
Yeah, I mean, you guys will like it too someday when you get to your dissertation.
Someday is like tomorrow.
Especially for you. It's right around the corner. Do you know what you're going to be doing?
Yes, loosely. I'm doing, so I originally wanted to do factors, I would love to, factors that predict parental adherence to behavioral parent training.
To?
Behavioral parent.
Behavioral.
Yeah, so I'm interested in like what makes a parent more likely to adhere, because adherence, like if they don't adhere, it can have such an, like, an impact on their child. In this modality, of course.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm interested in that. So we'll see. I don't really know methodology-wise what it's going to look like, but I'm just doing some preliminary research. But obviously, I can't do adherence to a full treatment because I can't just administer a full treatment to this number of people.
Right.
So we're thinking of doing, like, adherence to, like, just teaching one skill. I don't know.
Is that Camilo or Hillary?
Camilo. I was told to call him Camilo, no longer Dr. Ortiz. I still call you Dr. Goodman sometimes.
I tell you not to. No one listens.
It's very
difficult.
But yeah, that's the way it's happening so far. But we'll see.
Very good.
Hopefully it doesn't change.
You're in third year?
No. Yeah. You shouldn't use me as a, you kind of use me as a guide, but I'm way ahead of my peers in that I'm like, writing the lit review.
She's way ahead of her peers, period. So.
Thanks, Jeff. But I'm just so paranoid about not finishing on time that I force myself to start at least making, I have like a bulleted outline. I'm not writing a paper yet. But don't use me, but also
use her.
You can do that.
She's the model student, so. All right, so let's transition into the CPQ. And I know some people were very upset that you know, their correlations weren't as high as Stephanie's. So let me just explain how I intuited that Stephanie was the champ this week. So I sent you this file. And it's a file with Pearson correlations. I'll show you how to read it. Well, actually, I all showed you how to read Pearson correlation output in the second class. So you guys know already. But this is the composite of two ratings of this video. And the video was part of a previous research project. And I had two expert raters, students, who had gone through the training and were very good raters, rate this particular video, and I took their ratings and I composited them. So I added them and I divided by two, very simple composite. And so I correlated each of your ratings with the composite of the two expert raters. That's how I arrived at these correlations. So this is the composite, and then you can see how each person correlated with that composite expert. I call it the gold standard. Okay, so the gold standard rating. And that's how we arrived at these correlations. Now, Kasia, she has no idea what Q sorting is. She just started. So I totally understand that 0.500. It's not a problem. I didn't think that I'm actually surprised you did that well, given the fact that you're just coming into this totally cold. So these are the ratings, and so every week we're going to be reviewing your correlations and seeing how you did with respect to the gold standard. So every week I'll have a composite of two experts, and you'll be correlated with, your ratings will be correlated with the ratings of these two experts, the composite of those two experts. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's the first document. And then I'm going to open up the second document and explain this one. This one takes a lot longer to construct. It takes quite a while, actually. But I'm quite pleased with the results. So what I did was I asked SPSS to give me all your ratings. So these are your initials, obviously, and it's the first practice. So these are actually all your ratings, and this is the composite rating. So you see the 0.5s because I assume, like for here, maybe one rater rated it a 3 and the other rater rated it a 4. 3 plus 4 is 7, divided by 2 is 3.5, right? So that's why we get the 0.5s here. So these are the composite ratings, and what I like to do is look at the composite rating and look at everybody else's rating. And you see just in these first four, who's closest to the composite? Stephanie. So, and you can look at all of these ratings and compare them with yours. So this is the gold standard. How far away are you from the gold standard in your own rating? So that's the first aspect of this. The second aspect is this. This column here. This stands for standard deviation. Standard deviation is it measures the distance away from the mean. So what I did was I took all of your ratings on a particular item, and I calculated the standard deviation away from the mean. So the larger the standard deviation, the greater variability between raters on that particular item. Does that make sense? And then I didn't stop there. I resorted the file according to in descending order according to standard deviation. So you see that the standard deviations are decreasing, they're descending across the items. What that does, it tells me on what items are we in most disagreement? Do we have the most variability? And those are the items that we're going to be really focusing on in our labs from now until Thanksgiving. Right? So 2.55, that means that there's an average of 2.55 difference between the raters, each rater, and the mean among all of you. That's a lot. Think about it. That's over two and a half pile numbers away. So item 55 is the item that corresponds with this large discrepancy among raters. So what I like to do is get through at least all the twos in the standard deviation. So that's item 55, 9, 86, 11, 23, and 46. Because those seem to be the ones on which we have the most disagreement. Does that make sense? So it gives us a chance to identify which items were we have the most disagreement on, then talk about them so that we can see those items in the same way. Got it? All right. So we open up our manuals. And the first one was item 55. I also have video, so if you guys want to say, hey, I want to look at a little passage of the video, we can do that. So item 55, the item on which we disagreed the most is therapist directly rewards desirable behaviors. Therapist directly rewards desirable behaviors. So on this item, we had the composite was 2.5. Amanda had it in pile 7, Holly in 6, Stephanie in pile 1, Taylor in pile 7. And we've scrolled down to the other. Cashy in pile 4, Cheryl in pile 2, Marguerite in pile 3. So these guys nailed it, Cheryl and Margarita. And then Doreen in pile 8, which is way off. So you thought that this therapist was rewarding desirable behavior. In what way did you see that?
I want to look at the explanation, like, you know, when they say characteristic or uncharacteristic.
So therapist verbally praises or rewards child for desirable behaviors. You thought that she was rewarding. She was praising this child for desirable behavior. For example, therapist gives a sticker to the child when she achieves a goal. Did the therapist give a sticker?
Did you take it more like praise?
Can you move to someone else for a second? I'm just thinking.
Sasha.
I just have a question. I put it in 4 because I didn't really see many behavior changes within the child that should be rewarded. I was wondering if anyone could give me an example of what they saw that was something that could have been rewarded. If that makes sense, or any behavior changes within the child?
I don't think there was. So 4 is close to 2.5. What we're trying to do is to get within 2 of the gold standard. So 2.5 is the gold standard. So anything between 1 and, let's say, 4, maybe 5, if we're pushing it, would be appropriate. Anything over 5, certainly out of range. Let me just tell you, this therapist does not reward this child verbally or otherwise. And so there must be some misunderstanding with what it means to reward a child.
Yeah. I don't recall, like, ever cross child to child. I don't know that I've ever put that item very high. Because it needs to be sort of like a direct, like, reward type of thing. Go put your sticker on the chart.
Yeah, or man, you did such a great job today. You were so open with me. You talked about that difficult thing that happened on the playground. Mm-hmm. Wow, you are a superstar.
That's good.
Now, does that therapist do that? No. Amanda.
So I know that me and Taylor both put it in 7, so you could tell me, like, if you were thinking the same thing as me. But I was thinking more in terms of praising the child, like clapping when the child was dancing, and then after which you like clap, more of like a reinforcement, like positive reinforcement in terms of like praising her, like, oh, good job, or something like that. Like when she was digging around in the like little thing from school, like when she found one, the therapist was like, oh, good job, like that's what I was thinking. I do think a 7 is too high, like I probably should have put it maybe a 5 or 6. Like if I was doing it again without this conversation, I probably would have put in a 5 or 6.
Right.
But I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think clapping alone, you see that as maybe being empathic and validating, but that's different from rewarding.
Right. But
What's the therapist's intentionality here? To reward so that the patient keeps dancing, or you know,
right,
or is it just to say, hey, I'm with you in this? There's a, so, it's a big difference.
If I was thinking about it now, like the way that you're explaining it in terms of like a physical thing or like a sticker or something, then yeah, I would have put it lower.
Okay, I'll agree.
I don't know if this is the right way to think about it, but I just know that this is a psychodynamic session. She's not supposed, she's like, that's not what she's doing here. Like, she's not
doing right, but before. You have that knowledge. That doesn't necessarily come directly from the session itself, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but I don't know if that's like a potential like hint that you can like use to sources.
Yeah, well, maybe for this therapist, but there are other sessions
right.
that we will be coding that may or may not follow this theoretical model.
Can I just, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
So about the envelope size, just please try not to get mixed up the ones that you're entering for the bullying questionnaires that you're from last week versus the five that I'm giving you right now. Okay, so just like before I hand it to you, just like put your other ones like to the side or
I wrote mine
like
on a post-it.
Yeah, or
write
it.
Does anyone want a post-it?
Yes, please.
Yes,
okay.
Definitely.
Thank
okay.
you,
Amanda.
No, take it. Oh, I have a quick question though.
Yes.
Since I haven't started yet, do you want to give me like 5 extra envelopes? I can do it.
I mean, it's up to.
I mean, if you want.
Yeah.
If you just love this so much.
Yeah, give it
to me. Okay.
Thank you.
I feel guilty and also annoyed that I haven't started, but anyway.
Okay. Thank you, Mitch.
You're coordinating a different project, so I want you to have a clear mind.
Yes, I will. Well. She will be giving me it on Wednesday, so hopefully we start then.
Taylor.
Okay. Okay, so back to what Amanda was saying. Amanda, oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have down notes, and I said high-pitched tone, high-pitched voice, and I specifically wrote down that, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I wrote down a quote that the therapist said.
Yeah.
You did a great job putting that together for the baby.
Okay.
But that was in play therapy.
No, but it's great job. Okay, so that's praise, right?
Right.
So, what was the gold standard rating?
2.5.
It was not a 1. It was 2.5. So, yeah, there was a little bit of praise. I'm not going to deny that. But then you have to figure out how much praise is characteristic of this session in relation to all the other 99 items. And I think if you consider all the other 99 items, praise was not a very characteristic aspect of this session. It just wasn't. Yes, here and there she might have done some praise. So, okay, so she avoids the one pile, but it's certainly not greater than 5. I think you'd be hard-pressed to rate this item greater than 5.
Okay.
Like, I would say that's just incorrect. Doreen.
But if she just slightly praised her, then wouldn't you say this should be a 6, meaning, like, the least on the appraisal spectrum?
No, because 6 is still like neither characteristic or uncharacteristic. I would say that praising this child was uncharacteristic of the session in total. It's not very characteristic. You've never seen a CBT session. Amanda, do you want to describe a CBT session for us?
Sure. So CBT session begins with setting an agenda. So they'll come in and say, okay, we're going to set an agenda. Like even a big piece of paper where the child will actually write out what we're going to do. Okay, so first we're going to talk about what a feeling is. Okay, what is a feeling? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, here's this worksheet. Now we're going to talk about this worksheet. So this is going to say if this is a thought or a feeling. What is angry? Is that a thought or a feeling? Like, it's very, very structured. Okay, so now for homework this week, I want you to fill out this other sheet that sees
tries to see what blah, 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 blah. Okay? Well, you did such a great job identifying your thoughts and feelings today. Here's a little prize from the prize box. Pull out the prize box. Do you want a pencil? Do you want a sticker? Do you want a piece of candy? Et cetera, et cetera.
Much it's all based. It's all based on reward, yeah. Right? The whole thing is reward-based. This set, see, so if you're not used to a CBT session, you don't really know what reward is. Reward in a CBT session pervades the session. It's characteristic of the session. By comparison, this kind of session is pretty absent of praise and reward. There's not much there. So it may feel like, okay, she said good job once or twice. You may think, whoa! That is really characteristic of this session, but if you compare it to other sessions, like a CBT session, really it isn't.
Okay.
It's not that characteristic. It's about a 2.5. It's uncharacteristic. Even though, yes, there was some praise. I will not deny it. You were correct, ma'am. There was some praise, but not enough to even put it in the middle pile, in my estimation. It's still not characteristic of this session in the 45 minutes.
And just to make sure I understand, middle pile, meaning the number five, that's...
Mm-hmm. But four and six are also considered middle piles.
Okay. Because I look at it as six is like the lowest grade of the more typical...
I think it is the highest middle pile.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay. And five is like not applicable or?
It's either not applicable or it's neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic.
Okay.
Remember we talked about that last week where I think it was Holly mentioned that like, let's say in one, the early part of the session, the child is really very restless and rambunctious, and the last part of the session they're very quiet, subdued, shy. How are you going to rate an item about the patient's mood?
Oh, okay.
The beginning and the end cancel each other out, so it's a middle pile type of thing.
Okay.
Cheryl, you had your hand up earlier.
Yeah, I'm just confused in general about
you're when, just confused in general?
Well, about when a therapist is doing something in the play.
Yes.
So how do you code things like that in general? Because like she was the mom in the play, and then, for example, let's say she was praising the girl while she was doing the other. I just confused me.
So the mommy was saying, "Great job."
Yeah. Would that
Billy
count?
Yes, that counts.
Okay, so just take it at face value.
Yes. Is that how you code it, Amanda?
Yeah, it usually depends, because I think about, like, the item is the therapist rewards desirable behaviors. So, like, if the child
not
is...
that, but, like, in general.
In general, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would take it in general, I would say.
What, you're going to take the general what?
So I would use what's happening in the play to inform how I place my items.
Okay.
Right, because if the entire session is a
right.
play session... And you're not using any of that to inform, as Amanda just pointed out, inform your ratings. You got nothing to rate.
Okay.
Let's quickly go on to the next item here. So it's... Item 9, and the coders, the expert coders, put that in also in 2.5. So we got 4, 3,
yeah.
4, 2. That's not bad. That's not bad. Let's see how the other 4 did.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. I'm surprised it's a 5.
Well, we have here a 9. That was what threw it off. So the item, let's look at what the item is.
Item 9.
Item 9.
Therapist is non-responsive versus affectively engaged.
Item, therapist non-responsive versus affectively engaged. So the gold standard raters believed that this therapist was pretty affectively engaged. That was characteristic of the session. She was not non-responsive. Does that make sense?
I understand. I guess I interpreted her differently. To me, she seemed more detached.
What do you guys think?
I could see why you would say that, honestly. Because, like, I found her to be, so in general, like, a medium. I know I'm not, like, a therapist yet. But, like, I judged her to be, like, average. Because she was just, like, she wasn't very emotionally expressive, and she wasn't, like, smiling, and, like, her body language was, like, very, like, I don't know, she was just, like, standing there at times, and just, like, she wasn't even, like, following the child sometimes when the child was doing stuff, and she was just on the chair, like, watching, like, kind of blank. So, like, I could see why you would definitely put that.
But you put it. Where'd you put it?
Well, yeah, well, I think I put it higher, right?
You put in 3.
Yeah, because, wait, say the question one more time. So I could just conceptualize.
She's not responsive.
Yeah, so, like, I think what I was doing at the moment was, like, that was, like, my first instinct. And then I was kind of, like, I don't know. I guess I was finding, like, positive reasons, like, oh, she was, like, clapping at this time, and, like, she was, like, involved here, and she was engaging the kid, like, every response, like, I noticed she was, like, oh, really? Like, why is that? And she would, like, go back to stories about the sister. So I guess, like, that was my initial instinct, and then I kind of, like, throughout the video started seeing more, like, emotive expression.
What do you guys think? What else?
So the golden standard is the 2.26 for the
No, that's the standard deviation.
Oh,
this is the rating of the composite. The COMP is the composite rating, 2.5. This is the standard deviation.
So that means that they thought she was pretty... Shows a lot of
affectively engaged.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you think, Dr. Goodman? Because I don't think she was like that much of like affectively.
Right. I think that rating might be a little bit too low.
I disagree. Yeah. You think she was? I think she was very engaged.
I thought she was too. You could too.
I mean, a lot of the
times I could see it. I could see.
Quiet.
I could see a 3. I could see a 4. I could even see a 5. But when you get into 6 and higher, that's where I would disagree.
The way I felt was like the way I kind of justified it in my mind was that like I was thinking just because she's not being like so animated and all these things and so playful with the child and so emotional, like that doesn't mean that she's not really engaged and showing any sort of emotion. Like, I think that there were a lot of points that she did.
Strangely enough, I think, like, the exact opposite. I think that she was engaging, and she was so into it, and she was like, whoa, that's a big one, look at this. This is very interesting. They laughed together. Are we all done dissecting? What does peace mean?
And she was clapping.
Always cooked,
right?
Did a great job with that baby. It seems like you're the mom. Is this how you take care of Alana? Like, everything. Oh, what would you write in your diary? Everything that happened, I feel like she was very responsive.
You hear those notes? That's Amanda territory.
Yeah. I look out my evidence.
Well,
I think also, but there's something to be said. I definitely agree with you, and I haven't seen it in 2 years, the video, so I can't recall. But so there's a difference between like verbally responsive and affectively responsive. Like if she's just like, oh, that's cool. Like, that's there's no affect there. But if she's responding exactly how you're kind of modeling it for us, then that would be affectively engaged.
Which is how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
I don't know about anyone else.
I thought her affect was, like, salient. Like, there were times where she wasn't, like, particularly affective, but I thought the time that she was, like, very, like, powerful and manly.
Yeah. So you must have
Tasha, are you convinced?
Well,
I gave it a hope.
You're not.
Not really. I feel like, you know, when she was, like, responding to the child, the question she was asking was more, like, to get information rather to, like, engage emotionally. At least that's the way I viewed the therapist, but then also this is my first time. So I'm learning.
I think she was affectively engaged. And so maybe you could recalibrate your affective engagement detector a little bit.
Okay.
And also if you think of a 9, that would mean like she's the most detached.
Like she's depressed. I mean, she's in the corner of herself.
Yeah.
And she's not engaging
at
all.
She's not paying attention to the child.
Okay.
Or she's on her phone, completely detached.
Depressed.
In a situation, which can happen. All right, so let's go to the next one. So this one, the gold standard is 6. We have 7. 3, 8, and 6. So 3 is a little off. Let's see what the others say. So we have 1. That's way off. And then 4, 4, and 7. That's okay. This is within 2. So let's look at this item, 86. Therapist is confident, self-assured versus uncertain or unsure. So the therapist's demeanor is self-assured and confident, and the experts put that in pile 6. So kind of like neither terribly confident nor terribly uncertain or unsure.
I thought she was really confident. There was no insecurity in her part.
I feel like there was though when I first started playing. I mean, at first, when she said, like, let's play house, and the therapist is, like, over there, they had that whole interaction, and I felt like she was kind of, like, unsure of her role in what was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that interaction with the child was, like,
mm-hmm.
What do you want me to be? And then the girl's like, oh, you want to be the mom? And I get that was letting the child lead the session, but to me, it felt like the therapist was kind of, like,
but does mm-hmm. that show on self-confident? I didn't interpret it as self-confident.
Maybe I'm not. I don't know.
What other people think?
I kind of like, I was more focused on the uncertain part of uncharacteristic. And like there were times the therapist was just sitting, I guess I just interpreted her sitting so far away from the child as uncertain.
That can mean a lot of things, right? It doesn't have to mean uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I definitely interpreted her to be not confident. So I put this in a 3. And, 3. Because most of why I did this is because of the body language. Because I just found her body language, like, so passive. And, I interpreted it to be a little insecure because, like, when she was expressing herself, she was like, would like sit there and like sometimes look down. And even like some of the tone, like it just feel like to me, maybe it was like intuitive, but to me, when she was speaking to the child, I felt as if the tone was a little contrived at points, like that she was just like trying to sound, not that she didn't feel that, but like I just felt that her facial expressions and everything and her body language didn't always match her more confident tone of voice. So, because I just got the whole...
But you know, okay, so let's take that. So
yeah.
There are people for whom their body language doesn't really match their verbal tone. So there are people like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then why wouldn't you put it in a middle pile? Because one would cancel out the other, I would think.
Because I just felt like to me, as far as a level of like intensity and strength, like the body language, first of all, it wasn't always that I felt this way, but also like I felt like the intensity and the strength that I got from her as it being not confident, like specifically relating to her nonverbal communication, was like much stronger than what I interpreted to be confident.
Sorry, my nose is really stuffy today.
That's right.
I perceived her as confident, not like the most confident person I've ever seen, but just in relation to the way that the child was also, like, there were definitely opportunities where she could have been more timid and unsure of what to say, since that child was so dominating in, like, all of the play and everything, and I thought, you know, in her play, like, she said something, like, as the mom or whatever, like, I think that she was overall confident. I wouldn't say that was like her most defining feature, but
right.
I think like in
the so a more uncertain therapist might have been flustered by a patient presenting this way.
Yeah,
it's a very good point.
Like,
so you're taking into account the patient's behavior, which is great because this is a Q-sort deck that is supposed to take into account the behavior of two different people, right? So she's more confident than not confident, especially given the fact that this patient's acting the way she is, right?
Yeah, and it's like there were sometimes in the play where the therapist had said something and the child was, no, like it's this or whatever, and she just went along and was like, okay, blah, 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 instead of being like, oh, sorry, and then taking a back seat.
Right. So a really non-confident therapist might say, oh, I'm sorry, and just keep apologizing and stumbling over their words, and she doesn't do any of that.
Yeah.
You guys got to see some video with a truly non-confident therapist to compare.
You should see videos of me.
But I'm fine.
Before I even told the joke.
All right, so let's go on to the next item, which would be an item 11. Standard deviation is 2.24. The rating, again, from the experts is 6. We got a 5. We got a 1 from Holly and a 2 from Stephanie and a 1 from Taylor. Whoa. And let's see what the others did.
11?
Mm-hmm.
Sexual feelings or thoughts emerge.
Whoa.
You guys.
And we got, okay, 5 is pretty much right on. We got a 1 from Cheryl, 5 and 6.
Okay, so.
So I know what the problem is.
Obviously.
It didn't happen. That's another
1.
Okay, so you've missed a few. Have you been listening? I've been podcasting these. You have?
I've listened to all of them, yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's go to 11.
Even the thing is, this place where uncharacteristic, that's like direction if child does not express sexual ideas.
All right, we have a specific.
She was expressing.
What?
She was expressing what? About a boy she liked.
I have a comment. Julia and I ran into this where we had a session of a child who was talking about a crush that she
this
had.
This
is
this
on
past
boy,
summer.
And we were. We didn't know whether to put that in sexual thoughts or feelings or not, and we both agreed maybe not to, just for the purpose of clarity. But I think now that we have you to, what do you think of that?
So this item falls into the same category as a bunch of other items. So once we learn this rule, I think it'll help us to rate other items as well, reliably. So if there's no sexual feelings or wishes going on in the session, it goes in pile 5. But if you've got to move it around a little bit to pile 4, pile 6, that's okay. But one of the middle piles, okay? But let's say that there's sexual feelings or thoughts in the air, so to speak, and the therapist doesn't pick up on it, doesn't talk about it, doesn't address it. So let's say... I'll give you an example from my own practice. This happened many years ago. I was treating a foster child, who I didn't know very well. When I was working, that was actually before I came to LIU, I was working at St. Christopher's. And he came into my office, and we're playing, right? And without any warning, he pulls down his pants. Yes. Pulls down his pants. Now, let's say that I ignored that. I didn't say anything about it. I acted as if that behavior never happened.
That's
so he's provoking a response, but I don't take him up on it. Then, if you were rating that session, this item would go in pile one. It's uncharacteristic because I ignored it. I ignored that issue. But what I did do was I said, can you please pull your pants back up? Because we don't pull our pants down in therapy. Kid pulled his pants right back up, and I tried to explore it a little bit. He wasn't interested in exploring it. We moved on. So in that case, the item isn't placed in pile one or pile five. I'd say it's placed fairly high because it was a very significant issue in the session, and I did address it. So maybe pile eight, something like that. But if I hadn't said a word, he just pulled his pants down, that would go in pile one. So now, thinking that through, so there are other items like this as well, where the absence of a behavior would put it in pile five, but if there's, if one member of the dyad is provoking a response and the other person's not picking up on it, it's not discussed, goes in pile one. Got that? So now, having clarified this item, where would you place it now, thinking back on the video?
Obviously, five.
Right, and where did our experts put it? They put in pile six, which is perfectly okay.
Right, maybe because of that conversation about the crush.
Okay.
Like, I could see that. Maybe.
Okay.
It's a five, but they talked about a crush on a boy, and
so
I,
I'm going to bump it up one.
Five, so I'll bump it. Right.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
That makes sense to me, too. Okay, everybody got this? This is why we're training. This is perfect. This is what we're here for. Okay, we've got 7 more minutes and 2 more to go. So we've got number 23, also 2.24 standard deviation, and the experts put it in pile 6.5, so maybe one put it in 6, the other put it in 7. We got 8, 6. That's all fine. 4 is a little low. That's a little bit low. And 23, let's go back. Wait, what's the item number? Row number. It's not row 5. Okay. So row 5. We've got 4. 3 is a little low. Actually, 4 is a little low, too. 2 and 3, these are all low. Okay. So 23, let's see what 23 is. This is a hard one. This is one that every coding team struggles with this item. Therapy session has a specific focus or theme.
That is a tough one.
It is a tough one.
Especially in this case where the kid was like, you could view it as on one end, like she's fragmented, but she's going in like one direction and then the next, and like then she's playing this and playing that, and she wants to talk for a second about her sister, and then something else happens, so like you could view that as scattered, but at the same time, all of those few things had specific focuses or themes, so that's why I rated mine high.
The question is whether those different focuses maybe are all interrelated in some way, or whether they're truly distinct and separate.
What was the, like, correct one? Yeah.
What?
How would you like to... I mean, I rated it low, because to me, like, the beginning when they were dissecting and then they were playing, like,
yeah,
they seemed to...
Okay, so how many themes did you count?
I think it was, like, 4.
Yeah, it was, like, 4. And, like, they seemed... Would you say they were cohesive? You know? Or, like, more fragmented?
I don't know what I'm looking for.
Well, it sounds like you know what you're looking for.
I mean, I never see a therapist as
session. So four to me was like, I don't know, that seems high.
Well, okay, so four. So a single or a few? A few is three. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's one, two, or three foci, whatever the word is.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We, Chantani was presenting in class, I think this was yesterday, and she said, so there was like this one focus, and all of the foci, the whole class started laughing. Jill was like, I think it's foci. And then.
No, it's not foci.
I don't think it's foci. Foci. Focuses. Who knows? But we had this conversation literally yesterday.
Wow.
That's so funny. I don't know.
Some people say foci, some say foci, but it's not foci.
No, I think foci sounds correct.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Anyway.
So anyway, but four would be less than characteristic. So if characteristic is seven, and they had it.
Characteristic is seven?
Right here. Characteristic interaction is kept to a single or a few primary foci.
Okay.
So 1 to 3 would be characteristic, but there were 4, you say. So you were thinking less than 7, and the experts put it in 6.5, right? Where did they put it?
Where did they put it, though?
Yeah, yeah,
6.5, right?
Yeah, so Charlotte and I both put it in a 4, because I count more than 3 themes.
Oh, she did too. She counted 4.
I count more than 4, but
you counted more than 4.
Really? Yeah. Okay, so there's the dissecting.
So you're saying the more plays, the lower the rating will be.
Yes, that's what the item says. So a specific focus versus many, many. So look here. If multiple topics are discussed, or if interaction seems to lack direction or focus, seems somewhat diffuse.
So also my thing was that, in my perspective, I rated it high because, like, there were only a couple things that were happening, and they were a little bit cohesive because, like, for example, when she was playing house, I think she, like, at the end, she pulled out her diary and, like, I don't know if that was part of the game or whatever, but it kind of, like, flowed. And then she was writing in her diary, then she was holding her diary while discussing why she lost her diary, and it became like another theme discussing that. And then the diary was again pulled to a third theme, which was sitting on one side near the play area and like writing in the diary. So it was like the diary was very involved in each theme, so that's kind of why I rated it more high.
See, I read that as all one thing.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
The diary.
I count a lot of themes. I, with every interaction with the diary, there is a common theme of like her writing in it, the thoughts that she's putting into it. Like she had talked about writing like at school or like her personal one or the one here, but all of her thoughts, like they weren't exactly the same, but you could connect them still.
Yeah, I had a similar thought.
Do people get that? I mean, Stephanie came the closest, I think.
Wait,
and that makes sense. She put in 6.
I did struggle with this one, like trying to figure out how much was going on. But what made me put it higher was for the uncharacteristic part, it says seems to lack direction or focus. And I felt like, yeah, there was more than one theme, but within the themes, they were pretty consistent. There wasn't like an abrupt change to something else. I thought there was like 3 themes, so I thought that was still a few and not a lot.
Yeah, they definitely overrated this one.
All right, so real quick, let's do the last one in the standard deviation 2s. We have item 46 is exactly 2 standard deviations. The expert raters, the gold standard is 5. That's 6, 7, 7, 6. That's not bad. If we're trying to do within 2, I'm happy with that. Let's check the second page. So we had 2, 6, 7, and 2. So the 2 2s, Doreen and Kasia.
Yeah, this was
a little low. This is 46? Item 46. Yeah. It's not terribly low, I mean, but it's outside the margin of error that we're working with. 46.
And it was 5.
Let's see. 46. Therapist interprets the meaning of the child's play. Therapist interprets meaning of child's play. So these experts thought she neither really interpreted, but she didn't avoid interpreting either. There was probably some interpretation going on, but not so much to consider this to be characteristic of the session.
For the therapist to interpret, she has to like explain to the child what she thinks the child.
Yeah, so for example, the child's act of banging to force puzzle pieces together may have something to do with his frustration that he can't make his parents reunite. Let's say the kid of the divorced parents, and he's taking two puzzle pieces and he's trying to make them connect and they won't connect. Geez, it seems like maybe you're angry with your parents for not coming together and coming back together from their divorce. That would be an interpretation. And she neither did that very much, nor did she avoid doing that. That's what the experts are telling us.
But I felt like she's not trying to link anything to something meaningful, almost. Like it was very on the surface. Like I didn't feel like she's trying to like dig deeper.
I felt like when they were playing house and then, you know, the child had to do a lot of things on her. I mean, I don't know if we're supposed to know anything about, like, their background.
No,
like,
we're keeping you dark.
Doing things, like, on her own. And, like, you know, I saw, like, at one point the therapist, like, took a stance of, like, oh, I want to lay in bed. I'm not going to help you. And John's like, okay, fine, I'll do it on my own. And just kind of took on this role of taking care of herself. Mm-hmm. I thought that's something that maybe could have been interpreted or, like, explored with the child, and I don't know, I guess that's why I rated it toward more characteristics. I thought that as an opportunity to kind of explore.
Right, well, even clarifying play, like, oh, it seems like you want to say this about your feelings. I mean, that would count. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're setting the bar really high.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you, because for me, I don't know if I got this wrong, probably. But, like, seeing now, I don't know. Like, I'm feeling like I was kind of overthinking, too, at certain points. But, like, I feel like from what you're saying, it seems like it's a little more obvious and concrete. Like, she would literally say, like, oh, like, you think that you might do that because of this? Because your mom did that?
Yeah, even something simple like that would count toward
right.
this item. What?
So, I mean, I rated it
that part when she was like, what do you think's behind the camera? Because the client kept saying, like, hey.
That's why I rated it high.
Well, that's not. That's so interpretation is explaining something. Asking a question is not an interpretation. So she's asking.
But she was like, oh, you like to be watched.
Yeah.
That would be an interpretation.
That's what I'm
saying. Something as simple as that counts.
Yeah,
but that's why I did the same thing, because she was like very commenting frequently about her awareness of the camera. She was like, oh, you seem to be very aware of the camera. What's going on today? And like, I don't know. I thought that was pretty strong, and that's why I did it. But like, I guess I could see now why it would be lower.
Well, that's why I put it at 6. I mean, the thing was 5.
Yeah, 6 would be fine.
Yeah,
right?
So that's what, like,
I put
mine
at
yeah.
6. I didn't put it higher than that, because it was just 1.
Makes sense. I put it in 7, so.
All right. So here's the good news. For next week, we're gonna Q sort the very same video. How about that?
Woo!
And then we're gonna see how we do next week. After having discussed the difficult items, you've seen this video already. Now you're gonna view it again, and then you're gonna do a different, you know, a new rating, and then you're gonna send those to me Wednesday, and then we're going to talk again before we move on to the next video. All right, I just want to be sure we're all on the same page, and it gives you a chance to do it for the first time, and then we'll all see how we do next week. Okay?
Yes.
Great.
question.
Yeah.
What is avoidance in interpretation of
like show Julia
is it,
what's going on?
There was like a very, very clear opportunity and they just kind of like changed the subject?
Yes,
okay.
That would be absolutely. Like, it's clear that the therapist really doesn't want to tackle a particular, like, for example, my example, the kid pulled down his pants.
Okay.
I just ignored it, didn't say a word about it, just acted as if it never happened. I'm avoiding an interpretation.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
You'd like to provoke me right now, but really it's not appropriate to do that. Would you please pull up your pants?
That would be an interpretation of the behavior.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for coming, and sorry it's been a rocky beginning for you, but I'm hoping that it smooths out.
It's all the technology. I don't know.
I think to get past the course questionnaire,
it just seems like once the technology has been a problem.
This month.
Can we?
Hopefully that'll change.
Yeah, Kayla, I'm so sorry. I'm very confused.